place. So we're going to read now, as you have Acts 13 open. We're going to read from verse 13 down to verse 16, and then moving over to verse 44. So 13 to 16, and then to verse 44. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia, and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, Ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Then Paul stood up, and beckoning with his hand, said, Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. And then he commences his message and the sermon that we already made some comment about. So we pick up at verse 44. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. When the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. The word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. And the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women, the chief men of the city, and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them out of their coasts. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them, and came unto Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Would you join with me, please, for prayer? Father, as we come now to this time of our worship service, the ministry of thy word, I pray for the help of the Spirit of God to direct my mind, my spirit. I pray, Lord, that I will know that unction from heaven. I pray that everyone here and everyone listening online would know the speaking voice of the Holy Spirit in their own hearts. Lord, there are undoubtedly some here who are not saved, some listening online who are not saved. There are others, Lord, who may be cold in heart. Whatever the case is, come, Lord, with the word and speak to every heart. Encourage us, lift us up, help us to see that life, with all of its twists and turns, and ministry with all its challenges, should not take away from us seeing the purpose of our life and rejoicing in the God of our salvation. For Lord, it is your will for us that our joy may be full. Hear this, our prayer today. We ask in the Savior's precious name. Amen. I draw your attention, please, to the very last verse of this chapter 13, verse 52. It says this, "And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost." And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. We have been doing a study in the book of Acts, in our prayer meeting, our midweek meeting, for some time now. And though we crossed over and looked at the account of chapter 13, I want us to revisit this particular verse, which I did not highlight so much in the Bible study, because I think it is helpful for us. It is always good for us to review the Word of the Lord and to see at what juncture we are at in our Christian life and how this word can apply to us and will be a help. It will be a strength. It will be that which carries us forward in the service of Christ. Chapter 13 is a most important one. It's one of those hinge chapters in the book of Acts as we are introduced to the missionary travels of the Apostle Paul and his co-laborers. It is the unfolding of these events that impacted not only the immediate hearers, but every generation that has gone from then until now, including us. We are impacted by this. The events that surround the founding and the furthering of the New Testament church, they give to us a pattern. And it's a pattern of faith. It's a pattern of hope. It's a pattern of trust. But there is also included in that fear and persecution. There is also victory combined with defeat, hardship, deprivation, peace and stability. There is sorrow, could we say, upon sorrow? And yet, there was also unspeakable joy in the Lord. And this joy that is contained here and recorded for us in verse 52 is what I want us to think about today. Joy in serving the Lord. Joy in fulfilling the purpose that God has for us in our life. Joy in knowing that the Holy Spirit is in us, is our guide, and will be with us until the very end and into eternity. Yes, there was joy in the purpose that the apostles had. They were content. They were content in their economic situation. They were content during times of famine. Yes, they had fortitude and they had perseverance, even against the most vicious attacks and the cruel persecution that came against their own personal faith and when they took their stand for the Lord. The time of the New Testament early church, it was of the expansion of the kingdom of God. But for many, to name the name of Christ, then it was a sentence of death upon you. And many lost their lives because they said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is alive and that He is my Savior." And for that testimony, many were thrown to the lions. Many were burned at the stake. Many were stoned to death. Yes, friend. And yet in the middle of all that, they had joy in the Lord. How could it be? How was that possible? It is possible only, friend, because of the abiding presence of the living God within the life. That's the only way you can answer these questions. They knew that their purpose and their higher calling gave them a meaning to life. They knew that the world that they were living in was not their home. They were just passing through. They sought for a city that had foundations. And that means a city that was in heaven, a city that was eternal, whose builder and maker was God. Their eye was on the eternal Son of God, whom they loved and they worshiped and they rejoiced in, and they had continual joy. It was joy that was unspeakable, and it was full of glory. Yes, friends, this is what they had. And I want us, for the remainder of our service today, to think about what it means as a believer in whatever life circumstances brings to us, in light of where we are today and some difficulties we have had to endure, yet to know the infilling of the Holy Spirit and to have the joy of the Lord. Let that be the fabric of our Christian experience. Let that be so intricately woven in the midst of us that the world will see, when that person is suffering, still I can see the radiance of the peace and the love of God within their hearts. I wonder, friend, do we have this joy of the Lord today? So the first thing I want you to notice is simply this. There was joy in submitting to the will of God. Look at verses 3 and 4 of chapter 13. It says, "And when they," the church, "had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on Paul and Barnabas, they sent them away. And they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence sailed to Cyprus." And so this point is dealing with the submission to the will of God by Paul and Barnabas, who are the key featured players here in this chapter. Paul had now been 1 year in Antioch, where he and Barnabas had been preaching and teaching the Word of God. But a famine took place in Judea, and so they took relief with them down to Jerusalem, to Judea. And then after that, they returned back to Antioch again, and were told in verse 2 that they ministered unto the Lord and fasted. These men were active in the work of God. They were active in serving the Lord in whatever capacity and in whatever place they were found to be. Whether it was in Antioch, preaching and serving, or taking supplies down to Jerusalem, no task was too menial for the servant of God. How important that is for us to understand. That if we want to know God's joy in our Christian life, then there must be a willing submission to God's will, whatever that is for us. And some of you might be asking today, "Well, I'm seeking the will of God, but I'm not quite sure what it is right now." Well, that's a good place to be in from this standpoint, that your heart is open to say, "Lord, I want you to direct me. I want to know what I am to do." And maybe these times have given you some uncertainty, and that uncertainty may be okay so long as we're brought to the point of saying, "Lord, I want to know your mind. I need to know the leading of the Spirit of God, and I want to do the will of God." These two apostles, they had submitted themselves to say, "Lord, whatever it is you want me to do, that's what I'm going to do." And I suggest to you and say, this is the foundation and base that you'll have for experiencing the joy of the Lord deep into your heart. They ministered to the Lord. It's a word that means to be a public servant. to perform charitable functions. Well, in a spiritual definition, we can understand very clearly what that means. For them, they just said, Lord, no task is too small. And on the other side, no task will be too big. If you equip us, if you're sending, we're here and prepared to go. Friend, have you come to that point in your own Christian experience? Have you come to the point where you're prepared to say, Lord, not my will, but I just want to submit myself to you. I just want to give myself, no matter where it takes me, no matter who I am going to meet, no matter what it is I'm going to do, I want to be a dutiful, faithful, humble servant of the Lord. Do you ever wonder, friend, in your life, in your Christian life, why there seems to be an element of emptiness or a lack of satisfaction? Maybe. Is it possible? It's because there is a resistance to submitting ourselves to the will of God. Well, I say to you, the answer, the antidote to that is simply to come to the Lord and say, Father, you know my heart. You know my sinful direction and ways. I pray that you would forgive me and wash me, and then give me direction in the will of the living God. I want to serve. I want to do what I can. Doing something more for the Lord in your life. We never get too old to serve the Lord. And never is there a time when we can say, I'm doing enough. I don't need to do any more. It's always good to say, Lord, I am willing for your purpose. And let me seek out some way in which I can serve, maybe that I have not been aware of. You will not have in your life real joy or satisfaction if your life is not devoted to Christ and devoted to His will and working. You know, the Lord does not often use lazy or complaining or self-absorbed people. Let's beware of that. Let's beware of the thinking that I'm only here to satisfy my own needs. I'm only on this earth to see what I can get in the happy ride from earth to heaven. And if we change our way of thinking sometimes and look at this from another vantage point, then we will not be so consumed with just fulfilling my own needs or desires. Is the world not full of that thinking? And the sad reality is this, that sometimes as Christians in the world, we can be consumed or at least brought into that thinking. And it's only what is going to satisfy me. And if it doesn't satisfy me, then I'm not interested. Wow, be careful of that. Let us all beware of that thought. And rather, to come as the disciples did, to have the joy and peace of God in their hearts, they were willing for God's will in their life. They were sent forth by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person, the blessed and holy third person of the Trinity. And He is not a force or some energy, but He is God, a very God. And as He directs and sends forth, as Paul and Barnabas were, as every missionary is, as He leads men and women to Christ, His ministry is to do that, to reveal the Lord Jesus from the Word of God and to open our minds to behold the wonder of Christ. Have you, friend, today, have you opened your heart to the Savior this very day? You've come through a long time of not having to be in church in physical presence, but maybe that suited you pretty well. Because maybe you weren't that interested in being in church anyways. The reality, friend, is this. If you're outside of Christ, it doesn't matter whether you're in the church or out of the church. It doesn't matter whether you're at home or at play or at work or wherever you are. If you have not the Savior in your heart, you will have no lasting peace or joy, You will have no purpose in life. And I say to today, come to the Savior and make no delay. Come to trust in Him. Come to call upon Him. My friends, it is so important that we know Him in our heart, because it's not until we truly have received Christ that we can know what it means to submit ourselves to Him. There is joy in submitting to the will of God. Please notice in the second place, there is joy in serving even in times of opposition. There's joy in serving even in times of opposition. In verse 5 of chapter 13, we notice that when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had John to their minister. And then when they went on, in verse 6, we're told that they had gone through all the Isle of Paphos. They found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus. And this particular man, he took great pains to deceive the man who was Sergius Paulus, the Roman overseer of that place. And in his deception of the man by his trickery, his sorcery, whatever he was, it became very clear that when the gospel message was preached to Sergius Paulus, this man Elymas, his true colors came very clear. And he opposed the gospel. And he did not want the light of truth to come into the heart of the Roman leader at that time, because that would have meant himself being out of a position of authority and power. He would not have had his job anymore. And so he tried to oppose Paul and Barnabas. And when he did that, the Apostle Paul spoke some very direct words to him. And the words he spoke to him was that blindness for a season would come over the eyes of that man who had tried to take the light of the gospel or keep it from Sergius. Now this man himself has become overwhelmed with darkness and blindness, and he needed others to help him to get around. The rebuke that Paul brought him, that we have in verse 10, is a very strong one. And such a rebuke that came that perhaps some folks might say it seemed a little bit unloving. Was there not a different way that Paul could have addressed Elymas, the sorcerer? Could he not have gone to him on the side and quietly said to him, if you don't mind, if you would please not resist the gospel, if you would please not try to hinder... No, that was not a time for that particular approach. Well, there may well be that type of approach in different circumstances, but not here and now. When the gospel was in question and when opposition to the word of God was being presented, that direct word needed to come from God's servants. There are times for discussion about the things of truth, and there are other times when our stand for the gospel must be taken very clearly. It was not a time of negotiating for the social causes or needs of Paphos. No. This was a time of a war between heaven and hell. This was a time where the devil was unleashing his power and fury to keep the light of the gospel away from one that God was intending to open the eyes of. Let's be very careful, friends, that there's not even ever a hint within our behavior or life that could be said to be a stumbling block, an obstacle in front of the gospel. Let's be very careful about that. And ask the Lord always to set a watch upon our mouth, keep the doors of our lips. Let us have a true and a right spirit. Let us be guided not only by the open and obvious directions of God's commandments, but let us pray that we will have the Spirit of Christ in us. Because as we have the Spirit of the Lord in us, our minds and our motives, Our ministry will be all working in that direction, in that way. And that's what we need. That's what I need. Ah, there are times, you know, when your patience and your temper comes near the end. And you can kind of lose it sometimes. Well, when that happens, and if someone else is on the receiving end of it, an unbeliever, what are they going to think about our testimony? What are they going to think about how we try to witness for the gospel? We have to be careful about that. But there are times when those who oppose the light, they need to be dealt with very directly, very forcefully. And so the apostle had to do that here. And there was a great open door that happened at that time as the gospel continued to be preached. And it was at that moment of controversy, at that moment of confronting that which was evil, that God stepped in and used that very thing of the blindness coming upon Elymas, that Sergius, the Roman authority, said, "This is amazing." And he was struck by that. And the Lord saved him. And what impact that had upon the gospel in that area, we do not know, friend. But we know this, that a soul was gloriously saved, and the Lord was doing a great and a perfect work at that time. May the Lord help us to always be faithful in a day, in a time when there are confusing messages that come, sometimes from Christians, sometimes from Christian ministries, confusing messages. You wonder, well, is it right to do this, or should I do this, or how should I react and respond? Let us always come back to the Scripture and seek from the Lord the pattern. Seek from the Lord the manner with which we are to proceed. And when a voice speaks here or a voice speaks there, you'll say, "Lord, I want to govern my life. I want to have the joy of Christ in service, even through times when there are opposing voices." Would you notice, thirdly, this morning, there was joy in the preaching, the glad tidings of salvation. Now, you will know from our study in the book of Acts that the word glad tidings is euangelion. It is the word for the gospel. It is the good news. And as they were proclaiming the glad tidings, well, they rejoiced in what the Lord had done for them. We're told that they went into Antioch in Syria, in Pisidia rather, the opposing one from in where they had been commissioned from. And we find recorded for us now in chapter 13 from verse 16 all the way down to verse 41 this most significant sermon that shows us the way of a New Testament message. For it had a very specific introduction to this message where the Apostle Paul goes into some very careful Old Testament histories. And he specifically, he didn't bring out everything, he didn't have time for that. But what he did bring out were histories and recorded events that were going to be the stepping stone. They were going to be the introduction into the message that the apostle wanted to bring. And after you come through that introduction, you come down to verse 26 of chapter 13, and you will find what is called a proposition. Here was the main point of the sermon. And he said, "Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you that feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent." And so this was the main theme that the apostle was getting across, the message he wanted to preach to them about. It was about salvation. It was about your soul. It was about God's purpose for eternity and you. And as Paul said to them, all of the Old Testament history I've just recorded for you, and the very reason that we are here today in your synagogue, is to unfold to you the wonderful words of life about how you can know what it means to be saved, to have a living relationship with God. That's what it's all about. And that's the glad tidings that you and I have today, believer, to proclaim. Does that not fill your heart with happiness? Is there not rejoicing in your soul? You not find yourself at times like those four lepers of Samaria that went to the Assyrian camp and they found the tents were full of food and gold, and they had come upon great spoil, great plenty. And they took to themselves until they had filled their pockets. But they said, we need to share this message with others. And they went back to Samaria and they told the king and the people of a great plenty that they had come across. We have found a great prize, a pearl of great price. And therefore, friends, let us be happy to take the glad tidings of the message of the gospel forward and ahead, because in the whole body of the message that the apostle preached, what did he dwell on? As he's saying to them, I'm talking to you about salvation now. Well, he went to the cross. He spoke to them of Christ, the Messiah that was to come. And all the way through, he rejoiced in the victory that Jesus is not in the grave, but he is alive from the grave. And he brought Psalm 2. He brought out another psalm, that this one would not see corruption. He is risen from the dead. And because Christ is alive today, friends, you and I have life. And we have that more abundantly. And it is through this man, Christ Jesus, the promised Messiah that has come to be crucified, that has risen from the dead, that we preach to you the forgiveness of sins. And you cannot have salvation any other way. Oh, what a great message. What a message you proclaim. What a word to talk about. Has God given to you, friend, during this time of being shut in, has He opened up different occasions for witnessing? Maybe times which you never thought you would have had, but because of this, the Lord has opened a door. Look always for the open doors that the Holy Spirit is giving to you. And I would say that as every one of us need to pray that daily, God would lead us to some open door. He would lead us to some person, some way to share the message of hope and of truth, of what Jesus has done for us. And as we have those doors open, we might be prepared to share our faith. But you know, the word of gospel salvation is not always and only a message that is altogether hopeful and positive. There is a warning connected with it. And in verses 40 and 41 of Acts 13, the apostle starts off with this word, beware. So he has their attention now. He's in the synagogue. He has given them his message. The whole history is told of his proposition. He has proclaimed to them Christ and the gospel and the resurrection. And then after it all, he says, now listen to me. If you ignore the message that I have just spoken to you, then there is a warning. All the components of a Christ-exalting message and the outcome of it are given to us here. Because, my friend, the ones who were the converts to Judaism, the proselytes, why, they received the word well. They were saved. The Gentiles, they were happy because they were given the opportunity of hearing the word. But there were those who rejected the message. And nothing's changed today. When you try to tell someone about the gospel, there are many who are going to reject that flat outright. They're not going to listen to the word. But there are others who that when you sow the seed, they will receive that word to their hearts. And those that received it, the Apostle Paul and Barnabas, they persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the glad tidings, the gospel message, when it is received, it is a word that we would say to people, now that you have received it, you must grow in the Lord. You must go on and continue in the grace of God in doing all that you can in living for Him. And the signs that follow this faithful ministry of God's holy word, the signs that followed, well, they were both positive and they were negative. Friend, what have we seen so far today? There is joy in submitting to the will of God. There is joy in serving even in times of persecution and opposition. There is joy in the preaching of the glad tidings of salvation. And there was joy in the growth of the work of God. And we find that from verse 44 to the very end. And again, it was not without some opposition. Because the next Sabbath, when they went back to the synagogue again, well, the whole city had come out to hear the apostles' message. Was at that point where the Jews, they became filled with envy because they saw the multitudes had gone after them. And so they rejected the word. And what a solemn thing it is when someone has been given the gospel time and time again, and they then say, I don't want to hear that word anymore. Beware, friend. Maybe you've heard the gospel many times. And maybe your heart is hard against that. And maybe you have resisted, and to this day, you're still resisting it. And you say, I don't really care. That's not for me. I don't want that. I don't want religion stuffed down my throat by my parents or anybody else. Beware, friend. I say to you, because today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of grace for you, and the Lord blesses you with this. But if you reject this message, then you become just like these Jewish leaders, that they're filled with envy now. They don't want this message. They've had it, but they don't want it. And so what did they do? They, by their attitude and by their open work of opposition, they turn other people away from it as well. Oh, no. Be very, very careful. Because even though the message of glad tidings that comes with the power of the gospel was proclaimed and souls were saved, there was opposition there. The devil is not far away and he was busy at work. Yet the joy they had was a joy that was doubled and tripled and quadrupled because of those who did receive Christ. And the Gentile converts, look in verse 48. We're told that when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad, and they glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. God's Spirit was at work. He was calling out His people. And as the Holy Spirit was arresting them, the same Spirit that had sent Paul and Barnabas was the same Spirit now doing the work in the hearts of the Gentiles. And what was He doing? He was revealing Jesus to them. And they were testifying, yes, we believe, we receive, we rejoice, we want to know the words of eternal life preached so fully to us. You know, the opposition was not finished. And the whole city, while many believed, the Jewish leaders and other devout people, they stirred up others in the city and they chased the apostles out of that region. They said, we don't want your word, we don't want your message, we don't want your Christ. And the apostles, they shook the dust from their feet. And they said, "If you receive not the word, then we will go to another city and we'll preach the Lord in another place." And so that's exactly what they did. This did not deter them. And the joy they had in their hearts, it was in the face of opposition. Yes, it was in the face of rejection. But friend, what does that mean? If the Lord is using us, if we're at work in Him. I close our message today by asking four simple questions. Look before you on the screen. The first one is this. And ask yourself, do you have joy in serving Jesus today? Do you have the joy of the Lord in serving Him today? It's not the joy of the world. That's a completely different thing, because that's not the joy of the Lord anyway. It's the joy of Christ settled deep down in your soul. Do we have that this morning? The second question is this. Is our service motivated by love or by duty? Is our service for the Lord because we love Him, because of what He has done for us? Because if our service is out of duty or obligation, it will never be a happy one. It will always be one that is forced and strained and uncomfortable. But a joy that comes to the heart of your experience in Christ is when you're serving Him because you love Him. You're serving Him because you want to be a witness for your Master. And the third question this morning is this. Are you serving the Lord today, actively? And maybe you might have to say, well, there's more that I could do for God. Well, in that case, you say, well, let me do more. Whatever I can do, Lord, lead me to it. And I'm not saying, friend, that we must be driven by some sense of unspiritual persecution and trying to serve. No, we serve the Lord from our hearts. When the door is open, what we can do, there's always a point of saying, Lord, I want to actively serve You. And then the final question comes, are we serving God at all? These are some searching questions. Because at the end of it all, when the apostles finished, and we come to this last verse of chapter 13, they were filled with joy because they were filled with the Holy Spirit, because they were filled with a sense of life's purpose for them. And there is no greater existence, there is no greater experience, there is no greater journey through this world but to know, I am here because of God's purpose and plan being fulfilled in my life. And that gives to me the joy that the devil cannot take away from me. I pray that God would write His word upon our hearts this morning. We're going to sing a hymn in closing. And it's one that, well, the Lord has spoken to my own heart time and time again. I only have one life to give. It's number 638, but please follow the words on the screen. Standing to worship. Thank you. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Loving Father, we have the Word open before us today. And my prayer, Lord, that it would be written upon every heart. We would follow the example of godly men, written, recorded for our learning in Thy holy Word. And I pray that our lives and our testimonies would be an example of the believer in our day, in our generation. Lord, help us to serve while we have life and health and strength, and to do what we can. Lord, bless us now, we pray. Part us in your fear with your great blessing. We ask in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.